We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We worship you. You are worthy, Lord. You are worthy, Lord. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Amen. You can be seated. You see, when we come to the body, to the house of the Lord, there is a synergy of faith. There is a provocation that is released when iron sharpens iron. And in this kind of setup, God says, where two or three are gathered, I am there. And as we step out by faith and we're inspired by the Spirit and we press in, the unusual begins to happen. Our faith is built up and we begin to speak victory out of our mouth. It's not we can't come to the presence of the Lord and live the same. You don't have to always see the physical. Change begins in the spirit, in your heart like Hannah, in your spirit as you press and as you obey, things begin to unfold. Like the Spirit of God was saying, personally for me, I was just obeying, but inside of me, God was speaking to me and I was receiving. Reminded me that my victory is in my words. Faith has voice. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord moved across the realms of the earth until God spoke. There is power in your tongue, especially when it's the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. I met this woman years ago. Don't know how she heard about me, and God just wanted us to connect. She was very young when her parents took her to meet John G. Lake, and she sat at John G. Lake's feet. She was very young. When I met her, she was an older lady. She met all these Smith Wigglesworth, all these great men of God. Very young. Now she's old. She made a decision. And when she made that decision, God started using her in very strange ways. God would tell her, I want you to go to, let's say, Dallas. I want you to go to this city. God will speak to her. And she does not have any ticket money. She doesn't know. But God will speak to her. That's why it's important to hear from the Lord. Not assumptions, not presumption. She will obey. She will go to the airport. And they will say, man, what's your name? And her name is already ticketed. And she will fly to wherever God wants her. She gets there, somebody is waiting for her. And they give her a ride to where she's going. She told me so many stories. And the reason she was telling me this story was because then I was at the Bible school. God sent her to the Bible school. And God told her, go to Cleveland, Tennessee. Go to a service. And he says, I don't know anybody there. He says, I have an assignment for you. And then the assignment that God gave to her was for the big apostle of the church. Then his name was Norval Hayes. You can't meet him without appointments. You can't. There were just too many people wanting to see him, to meet him, and all this. And she said, I've never met him. God just told me to come. And guess what happened? She came. I met with her a day before. We connected a day before in my apartment, and she spent the whole day and told me a lot. God just kept us together. And I will tell you why I'm saying this. So she came, and that day I said, she told me all the stories. I said, have you called the office? He said, no. Have you made an appointment? He said, no. You see how God works. Because she told me so many stories like this. So we went to church. I went to my corner where I normally sit, and I was watching. And she went to the middle and sat at the middle of the church. Just sat there. She's a very, you know, just sat, elderly lady with gray hair, just sat there. And Brother Novo was not supposed to be there that day, but he came for some reason. And the daughter was going to share something. And then the daughter stepped out, and the daughter started talking. He said, you know what, today is Mother's Day. Let's celebrate Mother's Day. And just started talking and started talking. And he said, who is the oldest one here? They started looking, and somebody pointed at her. Maybe she's the one. So they started, how old are you? How old are you? She was the oldest. And they pointed and said, can you stand up, ma'am? And she stood up. They said, where are you from? Openly. This is after she's told me how God works with her. I saw it with my eyes. They said, how old are you? She said, and they said, so you're the oldest mother today. So we need to celebrate you and bless you and stuff. And then they said, but why are you here? I said, God sent me to see your dad. Right in church. And they were like, to see my dad? I said, yes. Okay, you meet him after church. And right as before the church finished, the ushers came, got her. They went in there. I waited for her. I waited. When she came out, everyone from Novo Hayes, the daughter, everybody had tears in their eyes walking out of the room. And we scattered her away. She told me a story. She said, one night, she was in a house. And because of the way God uses her, said all of a sudden this being was as tall as a skyscraper, a giant. It was a demon spirit. It was a dream. And the spirit stood really tall, and she was like little like this. And she was shaking, and God said, be still. And she was still, and God spoke to her in the dream. He says, all you need to say is the blood of Jesus. You have to say it. You have to say it. See, you are not a match for the devil. But the devil is not a match when you have Christ in you. Because Christ has finished the work. So she said, she heard blood, said, just say the blood of Jesus. That's all. So in the dream she kept saying, she said, she was looking at this giant. She stopped shaking after she heard, and God said, the blood. The moment she would say, the blood of Jesus, the giant started reducing in height. So he started shrinking. And then the giant now was shaking. And he said, the blood of Jesus. The thing would shake and shrink. And the thing would, he said, the blood. And she was watching until the thing came to her height, went below her height, and became like a small ball. God said, kick it away. And she kicked it away. And that was the end. She woke up. And that's when God says, there's power in the blood. Amen.
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 God is good.
All the time.
So, why is the blood so powerful? Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. The whole reason Satan took advantage and still taking advantage of man was because of sin. And the only way to pay the price and to atone and to regain power back was to shed blood. Amen?
Amen.
And it can only be by the blood of an innocent man. Amen?
Amen.
That's why he was born by a virgin. Amen?
Amen?
So now, I want you to think about this, because I want you to listen carefully to the Holy Spirit this morning, because he's giving you a nugget for victory. The blood. If I go home today, you don't know what's going on in my spirit. The blood is, the power is in your mouth. So we have what we need. So, do you know what it means? For in heaven, the Bible says, 1 John 5, there are three that bears witness in heaven. The three that bears witness. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, the Spirit. And these three are one. Huh? That's why I said, let us make man. Who will go for us? Isaiah says, here I am. Let us. And then when God speaks, remember John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. There was nothing created, made, that was made without the Word. Amen? Amen. So having that in mind, do you know what it means? He said the Word became flesh. For what reason? God became flesh. For what reason? To save us. To deliver us. To atone for our sins. And then to empower us after we've passed through the rudiments, the elements of foundations of salvation, sin, and now to empower us to become ministers of reconciliation. To be in a position God can use us to give hope to people, bring life to people, and help people receive what we have received. Amen? Amen. Ministers of reconciliation. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. How many of you, not in a manipulative way, but in a very sincere way, how many of you have ever made somebody so happy by what you did, and how was the reaction of the person when you made them happy? If you did it and you made somebody really happy, they are grateful. But there is an unexpected reaction sometimes you get from people when you make them really happy. They're full of joy, they are grateful, but then they respond to you out of that abundance of joy. Let me give you on the negatives, on the flesh. When somebody's flesh even was made happy, what he did, to show you when you make somebody, the positive person, happy, what they do. Let me give you two examples of two kings. One was Herod. The daughter of Herodias came and danced and did something that just overwhelmed his heart. He was so happy. He was so excited. He just overwhelmed him. And right there, he made a spontaneous decision. Ask me anything. Anything. Up to the half of my kingdom. He would not do that in his normal mindset. He did that because something moved him. The same thing happened more spiritually. Another king in the days of Esther, Xerxes, and Ahasuerus. When Esther has gotten a breakthrough in the spirit, and now God, the darkness is cleared up, the realms of the place is cleared up, and the king is now, who knows what he's receiving. When Esther stepped into his presence, after Esther found favor with God, pleased God, the Bible says Esther found favor with the king. That word favor, there's something that, what it means is, something happens to somebody's heart, they will do something they will not normally do because of favor. Something happened to the heart. And the king said, Esther, ask me anything, and I will give you up to the half of my kingdom. My brothers and sisters, if men could be moved like this, the Bible says, who will go for us? Jesus came here, left the realms of heaven, left everything left and came to this sinful world, put on flesh, put on man, put on all this, and lived in our dirty world. And while he was still in this flesh, he did not assume to be who he supposed to be. He submitted to what is on the Father's heart and lived like normal man, subject to the things man go through. In the same situation, he says he humbled himself the more and went to the what? The cross. What is the cross? It's a manifestation of the love of God. You're willing to give your life so that somebody else can receive life. You're willing to sacrifice so that somebody else can find the hope you have. While we were yet enemies, he died for us. No man can do that. So when he did that, the Bible says, God now exalted his name above every name that is ever named. That at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow, every tongue must confess that Jesus Christ is what?
Lord.
Jesus did that. And guess what? God lifted him up. He pleased God. He says, I came to please the Father, to do only what is on the Father's heart. He made the Father so happy by going to the cross. And because of that, we are here today. Amen? Now, there's something just amazing about human beings. No matter how we are as flesh, God still has people. He still finds people who will radically, abandonly pursue what is right in their heart. They will give their life for what is right. Even they are not believers. There are people we hear about in the world that has fought for justice, even when they are not Christians, with their life. So, there were these three men that has been with David for a long time. They call them the three mighty men of David. And David has been so driven away and been living in the wilderness for so long. David being a man of God and just longs for the things of God. He started missing being in Jerusalem, drinking from the wells of Jerusalem. Just he started missing everything that reminds him of what he's supposed to be. And he just said, I wish I can drink water from the wells of Jerusalem. I just wish. Three men heard it. And they put their life on the line and broke through the garrisons of the Philistines, fought through, gave their life, went right to the well, brought water, came and said, David, we just want you to know we care about your wishes. And David looked at it and says, you gave your life for water for me. I can't drink it. It's blood. And sometimes I wonder, we can't even do that for God. These people did it for a man that honors their nation. Why am I saying this? One more example before we get into this. I heard the testimony of a lady. She said, my husband, they have children, young, very young. My husband was so passionate about defending America. He was so passionate. He just loved the nation. He doesn't want to see the rights of this. He doesn't want to see this nation. That he just, she was expressing all this passion the young man carried. And because of that passion, he said, I must join the military. So she signed and joined the military. Do you know when you sign and join the military, you signed away your life. You have a wife, you have daughters, you have children, you have family. But you signed away because there's always a possibility you may never come back. So that has to be legally signed, that you're giving your life for the nation. And the boy, he went to war. There was a particular situation, and he flew, and something happens, and they blew up. And he came back completely with different parts of bodies. The reason she was telling the story was how a particular organization that supports those kind of a thing, just say, don't worry about your mortgage, don't worry about your house, don't worry about this, we'll take care of all that. So she was advertising for this organization. And the thing hit me. What are we giving for the gospel? What are we doing? Do we really believe people will go? Do we really believe? Do we believe what we have? And what came to me, and I won't read the scripture because I have other scriptures to read, is this. In the book of Revelations, chapter 1, the Lord started looking at the church. And as looking at the church, he started exposing the things that makes us, because I wonder what's going on. Why are we not, we complain about everything, we murmur about everything, and the lost is dying. We are more about me, that. We hardly will submit to anything God is doing, and we are always saying it's not, and Jesus was looking at the churches, and he was looking at all of them. This category, this church of this. But there's something about the first church, Ephesus. Ephesus was where there was big revival. God moved. The church was great. The church was wonderful. The church was powerful. But something has happened. They become comfortable. There are things that now is become about church, about me, about the apostle, about titles, about this, about that. And Jesus spoke to that church. He says, you have left your first love. He talked about all the great things they were doing. Go read it. But then he says, but I have this thing against you. You have left your first love. Meaning, you are doing all these things, but it's not touching my heart. You're just doing it for you. You're not moving my heart as your bridegroom. You're not moving me anymore. You know, like I came to please my father. You're not pleasing me. You're not doing what is on my heart. We are not connected. But you're doing something. So my brothers and sisters, this brings me to something we need to discuss today. Before I tell them to put it on, I have discovered one thing. And that one thing I found to be true. And you can kill me, I will never leave that one thing. And that one thing Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God. Amen. If you make the things that are on my heart your priority, I'm not ignorant. I will take care of you. All the things you desire will come to you. God can never lie. And I believe one of the things he came for, if you open your Bibles, I'll read it and I'll walk through some things very soon on a PowerPoint. Luke chapter 19. I'll read it and then we'll walk through some things really quickly. Luke chapter 19, verse 10. He says, for the Son of Man, that's Jesus, one of the manifestations of his love, the reason he came. For the Son of Man is come to what? Seek. And to what?
Save.
and to save that which was what? Do you know, if you do what God likes, you please him? But how can you do what he likes if your heart is not with him? So probably the reason why we are complacent, or we don't get this thing about reaching out to people or going out or being witnesses or touching people's life, is maybe, just maybe, we are becoming comfortable because we are now saved. So, I want to introduce to you today what we call evangelism match. I'll start with that. We'll just remember, we started this thing about GPS. Amen? How many of you remember the GPS? Yes. If you remember, I say amen.
Amen.
Oh no. If you remember, I say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Okay, there's one or two people that have not said it. If you remember, I say hello.
Hello.
Okay, good. GPS. One, if you have the glory of God and the GPS is leading you, then you have to walk by faith, because you can't see the glory. You can see it, but it's who you are, it's who you carry. You carry God and you are a servant of God, a child of God, no matter how little. By faith. But the whole purpose is for what? The souls. Amen? And we discussed about, if we follow the, you can keep going further. If we follow the GPS, the final analysis is to get to the souls. Amen? And we discussed about three things we can do about the souls. Is one, to pray for the soul, pray for one, care for one, and share with one. Amen? Okay. So we do that as we're led by the GPS, by the Spirit. And so this year we feel like, okay, we need to do something together. Amen?
Amen.
In being sensitive to pleasing God, what is on God's heart. So let's look at the other slide, the evangelism. We call it evangelism match. This is now, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And we want to be doers of the word. So we want to devote the month of March to loving Jesus. Amen?
Amen?
And the way we want to love him is to love people. We heard it from Heijin last week, isn't it? Amen. So, evangelism month. Every message you see from here is by the design of Wola Design Company. Amen? Evangelism March. How many of you know this is the month of March? So we want to march into Cleveland and love people. Amen? So we call it Evangelism March. The month of March is Evangelism Month. Amen?
Amen?
So what's the next thing? Why? Amen!
Amen.
Why must we have Evangelism March? Amen?
Amen?
So what's the next thing? Why is W-H-O? Oh no? W-H what? W-H-Y. So first, we want to look at who, then we'll go to how, and then we'll go to why. But we're going to look at it very soon different. First of all, you see, Jesus came to do something. And says, the works I do shall you do also, and greater works. Amen? So when he left, he sent his disciples. This was the commissioning of the church. This was what the church was commissioned. Says, go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It says, that's the church. The church is not a building. There's something about who that Isaiah answered. God, Isaiah had an experience with God, and God says, there's a need. We have a need. We need somebody in the flesh to help us. Who will go for us? Isaiah says, here I am. Anytime anybody says, here I am, to a response of heaven, they become the who in the Bible. There are people everywhere. But those who say, here I am, they've counted the cost and they become like the woman at the well. You know, the woman at the well is somebody who felt, God, you've done something for me that I've searched all my life and I can, you know that song, I search and search, there was nobody. Amen? And then you are the one that has now met me, taking away my sorrows. You've done this for me. I know I'm not perfect. I'm not where I need to be. But you've done enough. I can tell somebody. See this man that has helped me after many years of struggle. So anytime you see somebody say yes, that person has an encounter with God. It's an acknowledgement. Do you know what it means to say yes? When Jesus sent them out, the word was witness, W-I-T-N-E-S-S. It means somebody has had an experience of something. You cannot be a witness if you did not experience it. You understand? So that woman experienced something, so she was a first-hand witness, and it was easy for her to go. So what Jesus is saying, have I done anything for you? Is there anything my life means to you that you can share with somebody? What am I to you? What have I done for you? Is it important enough that there's just somebody at your work, somebody at your school, somebody at work that you can say, you don't have to preach to them. You can at least just smile. Tell them your day will go well. Amen? Amen. Just be a light. So the who always has to be with somebody who feels, I want to be a witness. I have something. God has done something for me. So let's go to H. How? Now we're going to discuss how very soon, what we call the evangelism month. So let's go to why. We'll come back to this. The next is, why are we dedicating this month? Why? What are we trying to do? We want to fulfill this scripture. We want to fulfill this scripture. We want to walk out this scripture. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. We want to live out this. We want to experience the scripture. And that's one of the reasons. Let me tell you a big why testimony about this scripture. Modern day testimony. I want you to listen to this. So you know that weakness in evangelism is not about us. It's just us being available. It's God that does it, the whole thing. It's just making ourselves available. Please don't be pressured. Is this, I don't know, the teaching is why is put fear in people's mind and they think you're going to fight the devil. That's why. And you have all this thinking and then you feel insecure about just sharing good news. There's no insecurity about sharing good news. Bad news is insecurity, of course. Nobody wants to hear bad news, but not good news. Amen? Amen. How many of you like good news? Amen. That's all. Don't preach to the people. Think about what will make them happy. That's good news. Amen? So, here's a testimony. There are testimonies that change my life. There are testimonies that affect me. And when they affect me, I make a decision. I write it down. And I make a covenant with that decision so that I will not lose the impact of that testimony and what God is saying to me personally. I watched a video. It's the testimony of a very high-level Satanist, witch doctor in Uganda. He shared a lot. But the part I want to share with you now is the part that the Lord ministered to me to bring up. Listen to this. Here is somebody from their childhood, from before they were born, They were programmed into darkness. And from the time they were born, they were so embedded with evil, so possessed with evil, that all they have known is evil. Okay? And give themselves totally to satanic evil to great level. Not knowing deep down God has a plan for their salvation. Here is somebody that has done so much evil, so much wickedness, so much terror, destroying people in schools and everywhere he goes, and all the witchcrafts, all the manipulations, everything that you can hear in that video, and all the powers. Listen, when the time came for his salvation, God took a 17-year-old student girl and said, I want you to go preach to that brother. The guy said, no. That one, that wicked man, send me to somebody else. When God sends you, it's not you. You are just your vessel, instrument. That's one thing you must learn about following the cloud. If you obey God, you are under a cloud. Amen. The best place you can ever be in life is to be in the will of God. Nothing can touch you. She struggled and finally she obeyed. The story is all there. The point is, this evil, powerful guy said, this girl called me by my name. I got angry. Who has the right to call me by my name? Everybody calls me master because of his power. And he got angry and turned around and said, I'm going to make this girl do all this evil stuff and all these things. And the girl just stood there. God said, be still. Here is this power, this evil, this possess. Man looked at this girl. I said, who is this? And as he turned to try to do evil to the girl, God said, just relax, just stand still. And she stood there. And as this guy tries to do all this witchcraft thing, all he saw, he was dealing with, just like that woman I told you, was Jesus. You don't always have to see him when he leads you, but the spiritual world sees. What you don't see, they see. What you don't know, they know. That's why we are so ignorant of who we are and the power we carry and the authority. This girl, 17 years. Oh, I think it was 17 or 19. Stood there, and this guy was describing, instead of seeing the girl, he saw this light, this man Jesus. He didn't know. And as he saw this man Jesus, things started happening to him. He lost all his power. Then he mobilized forces. I've forgotten how many number of thousands of witches he summoned up. And he said later he realized Satan was with them. So that's the kind of level he was operating in. And with all that, the girl was just standing there. And God was walking. By the time God shows up, all the demons and Satan were scattered. He said, when God arises, let what? It is not scripture, it is real. So that happened. So this guy was like, who is this? And then the Lord said, summary of it, go and give him a hug. This girl doesn't see the spirit. He didn't know what has happened. All he knows was this guy is a Satanist, killed a lot of people, everybody fear him. I said, I should go hug him. Without knowing in the spirit, her obedience has shifted things. When you listen to testimony of witches, if he doesn't register something about your authority and identity, you've missed the point. God doesn't let us see what we do in the spirit so that we don't walk in the flesh. We walk by faith, meaning if you believe what I tell you to do, leave the rest to me. But he lets these people on the other side see so that they share this testimony so you know. In the spirit, this girl don't know what has transpired. Hell has been bulldozed, brutalized. This guy has been disarmed completely. And she was standing there just by obeying God. And then God said, go give him a hug. She walked up to the boy. Remember, in the physical, she obeyed. She went and grabbed this boy, gave him a hug. This guy said, of course, from his childhood, that's the first time somebody has hugged him. He felt the love of Jesus envelop him. He was transformed. Right there, the girl led him to the Lord. This is one of the most powerful witches that destroy churches worldwide, and including real testimonies of people we know. Now he's a minister, he's a preacher. He's because of one less than 20-year-old girl that fulfilled the scripture. Do you know what happened next? You know, when you kill the bear, you know that the lion can be killed by God. And then you know that Goliath can be killed. What? Whenever you don't experience scripture, you will not step out. But the moment you see one person get saved, or you see God doing something, it energizes, it provokes, it causes you to want to step out and more. Amen?
Amen?
This guy testified, 30 other ministers of the gospel that were formerly witches and wicked people were all delivered by this girl. Saints. And all of them met each other. The girl delivered, it would bring them, raised all of them up, trained them, showed them how to pray, and God took her. And they are all making a difference. Go and listen to his testimony. He's one of them. One girl that fulfilled the scripture destroyed the realms of spiritual embodiment in Uganda. Why? Lost people are chained, taken over. They can never come out. And if they don't come out, they will die, they will go to hell. They never know what peace, they never know heaven, never know anything. Jesus came. That's why we're here. And now Jesus says, can you not extend the same thing to the people? That's why this month, as a body, it is said that 70% or even more, I'm not sure of the exact percentage, but it's definitely above 70 or around that, of most people that got saved. This is a Baptist or something, a polls, they do the statistics, that got saved in church history. Majority of them were saved around the Easter season and Christmas time. Why? God knows. Probably the awareness of the cross and the birth of Christ. Because unbelievers are in darkness. They are groping. They don't know who they are. Like this guy has been crying inside. Who could have saved him? You will look, the girl was, actually that girl said, can you send a pastor? Can you send a big minister, a man of God? All God needed was, are you available? So the awareness of the crucifixion, the awareness of the birth of Christ, maybe somehow all these people crying are looking for somebody to tell them about it. Maybe that's the reason why many all through history has come to God during this season. So we feel as Mount Zion, we need to take advantage of these statistics. We need to take advantage of and declare the month of March, Evangelism March. Amen?
Amen.
March means we're not going to sit. We are going to, amen? We're not going to sit, cross our leg, and want more. We're going to walk out and say, I give you a little of what I have. Give. People always see this about money, no? It's a principle. It's spiritual. Give, and it shall be given to you. Good measure. Press down. Shake it together. That's what a prosperity preacher will dance for you. So you give more money. It's not about money. It's about love. Amen? It's about love. The more you love people, the more you receive love. Amen? Yes. Amen?
Amen?
So this month of March, we've been loving God. How many of you have been loving God? Coca, you didn't raise your hand. Have you been loving God? Okay, very good. Now it's time to what? Love people. So month of March is the month of intentional loving people. Very simple things we'll do this month. Our evangelism team has been doing an amazing work. We have a team of people who have signed up, committed to go out every once a month. Each person goes out once a month. They lead a team once a month, but it's on a Saturday. So if you go once, you go one Saturday, that's it for the whole month. So we have five different teams. The month we have five Saturdays, but we have that team. So we have somebody that leads a team on this Saturday, and they only go once a month. Another person leads a team on this the next Saturday, once a month. Another person leads just once a month. So this month of March, we feel it's time to show what Christ has done for us. And we are creating a flyer. Huh? So it won't be, you don't have to preach, you don't have to sing for the people. You're just going to tell them, we are inviting you. This is what we're planning to do. We want to have a movie day. Amen? We want to have a movie day as part of this event, this Easter. So the movie day will be a day before Easter. You know, permit me to say this. I know a lot of people are on social media a lot, so I've studied this too for many years. I know there's a part of the group of body of Christ, they don't like to hear the word Easter. Amen? I hear that. I understand why you don't. But this is for us to get a clear understanding of the season. Amen? And the lost we're trying to reach. I'm with you, Resurrection Sunday. Amen. So we are planning a strategy. Let's go back to how first. How? The H. How? That's where we are. So this, the how, the who, somebody's going to say yes. Our evangelism team already said yes. So we have people positioned. We'll go through that really very quickly. And then the why, we've looked at it. I didn't want to go deep into the why, but you've had enough. So the how is what I'm sharing with you as a body. On the 30th of this month, the Saturday before Easter, we are planning to outsource movie. Amen? And we're going to have a big movie theater set up here, the first floor. And we're going to invite people. We've created a flyer. They will show you the flyer very soon. And that flyer is to invite people to the movie. Amen? So we believe if we start now, the month of March, by the time we start inviting people and reminding them when it gets close, we should be able to find a reasonable amount of people that will come and let the movie preach to them, not us. We're not going to tell you what the movie is, but the movie is about the cross. Amen? The movie has touched many, many lives. The movie stirred up hell because of the impact of it. Amen? So, we're going to have the movie on that day. All the plans will update you about the details of it. But I just want you to know we have how. He that winneth soul is wise. The strategy. We're going to invite people and we're going to pass out flyers. Amen?
Amen.
So, each of you take the flyer. You can invite your neighbor. You can invite your friends at work. You can invite your friends at school. You can, you know, invite. You can be like the widow, the woman at the well. You can go all out and do what God puts on your heart. But we still have arranged. This coming Saturday, it's a team of the evangelism leaders that will be going out. They will meet here at 1. So if you want to go with them, see Pastor Grace after the service, or Bomati, or Pista Inka, or Yolanda, Pastor Victor, Minister K, all the team. see them, sign your name. They will meet here 1 o'clock. Let them know you're coming. They will go out with the flyer. There are others that will go out with the flyer before Saturday because they will not be here Saturday. So we want to really show love and then let God be the one to bring the increase. Amen? The subsequent Saturday, if you can't go this Saturday, go any other Saturday, but let them know, sign up for it. Amen? Amen. So that's our how. And I've shared with you the why. I want to leave it up to you and the Holy Spirit as we pray. How many of you will be the who that will take the flyers? You have friends, you have families, you have people around your neighborhood that you want to invite and follow up with them. Only God will give you the grace to say yes. Amen? So let's pray. And we want to quickly take communion with this commitment. If you have your communion, we want to eat the blood. It's a covenant. We are covenant people. And we want to be examples of what he became for us. Amen? So he died for us. He gave his life. We are surrendered to him. And we want to be led to do what he did so we can please him. And we leave the rest to the Lord. Let's pray. If you have the communion things, Keziah, come and join me. Everybody say there's power in the blood.
There's power in the blood.
Amen. So if you believe it, just pray now using this as a point of contact. Element of the word of God and the blood of Jesus. And just pray. Commune with the Lord. Your needs, your life, your covenant life, the church of Ephesus, back to your first love, back to the things on God's heart. Just you and the Lord. And ask him for grace to make you a light. Where is the other mic? So you and the Lord, covenant of healing, covenant of... So Keziah will lead us. So
we thank you for your deep love for us. We thank you, Lord, for the blood. Thank you, Lord, for the blood. Thank you for what you did at Calvary. Father, help us, oh God, not to become too familiar with what we have been told. Help us to embrace,
oh God, what you have done for us. Even today, as a family, we embrace that. We thank you. Help us, oh God, to not just sit, but to go for you. And so, Father, as we take this communion today, we ask that you will awaken something in us that will give us that power, that passion to want to go out there. Thank you, Lord, for making us one with you. You died for us that we might go for others. So, Lord, as we take of this communion, we thank you for drawing us to you, for empowering us, for no fear that will follow us, but we go in your name. Thank you for those souls. In Jesus' name, amen.
Your son gave all for us. And today, we surrender our whole life, everything that we are, to you. And you will use us to fulfill that covenant in the life of those that are around us. Father, we thank you as we take this. We speak and we remind our bodies that we are whole.
Yes.
We are well.
Yes.
Father, we take this, we declare that you are our provider.
Yes.
You make room for us. You provide for us. You give us strength to make wealth.
Yes.
Father, you are the one that gives us sound mind. Father, you are the reason why we live. We thank you, but when we take this covenant, Father, you are our protection.
Amen.
You keep us from every danger.
Amen.
Father, because of the angels that fulfill this covenant by protecting us. By reason of the favor that comes with this covenant, Father, we bring you in remembrance you our favor.
Amen.
Who takes us from glory to glory. Help us to be a light of so much you've given us as we go forth in this month of March. In Jesus' name. Amen. You can take. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You'll be hearing more. But again, I want to take this time to thank God so much for the grace He poured out on our teams that traveled out. And they are all back. Amen.
Amen.
Remember, some of our pastors traveled. Kathy went to India.
Amen.
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 And now she's back speaking American again. Pastor Mana went to Chicago. Now she's back speaking Cleveland. And the others that traveled, Sister Yinka is back. So grace everyone that traveled. So we are happy we are all back. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.